This is the Celestial Goddess Podcast. Let's grow and show up with more compassion. I love you.
And action. Welcome to Celestial Goddess Podcast. My name is Corinne, and we're diving deep with Dev the Yogi today. She is amazing. She is my friend. Crazy story how we met. But she's a yoga teacher. She's an entrepreneur. And she's just a goddess sharing her magic all over the world. So here's Devin.
That was such a sweet introduction.
I love that. I love you.
But yeah, I'm so excited to be here. We have so many things that we can talk about. So
yes,
we can dive in.
Well, thank you so much for being here. You are super easy to talk to. Every time we're together, it's just like...
Yeah, we have no problem talking.
Blah, 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 blah. Yes. Well, why don't you tell everyone about yourself and your story?
Yeah. So where to begin? So I've been teaching yoga now for about 6 years, and I've been practicing for about 9. I started practicing when I was 17. Which was good timing, because I was like not in a great place in life in general. So yoga came in, I think, right on time when it was supposed to, and just absolutely fell in love with the practice. A few years later, ended up leaving college, going to Mexico, got my teacher training out there in the desert, and yeah, now it's 6 years later.
So my gosh, here we are.
That's lots amazing. Of things in between.
Lots of things. Yeah. I know. What a way to speed up your story. You're good.
Yeah, I try to wrap it up quickly because otherwise I get real distracted.
Yes, yes. Man, that's amazing though that you found yoga so young. I mean, honestly, I wish I found it at 17. What do you feel like has changed within you since this?
So probably like pretty much everything. And as far as finding yoga young, I do think I found it a lot younger than it seems like my average student, than like what I have now. What I see in my classes most often is a lot of women in particular find yoga later in life or like after they've had children, and just kind of more in that sort of realm of their life. So I'm glad I found it in my teen years, because I think it really started to shape the way that I approach life and relationships, and most importantly, my relationship with myself.
Yeah,
that was good. And what was the other question?
That was good. And just, you know, major changes that you've noticed, like any challenges that you'd like to share?
The biggest thing that I find with yoga and yoga practice is that it doesn't necessarily like make it so you have less problems in life or that life is any easier, but it just makes it so that you are able to manage things easier. So the process becomes easier, but there's still plenty of challenges and like plenty of obstacles. And I think that yoga just continues to make that more of a learning journey rather than like a suffering journey, which I think a lot of people just
suffering
and unhappy.
Sabotage. Choosing to suffer.
A lot of unhappiness, a lot of misery out in the world. But yoga can help with that.
Yoga can help. And like you said,
let everyone know.
Right? Oh, man. But I think that's an amazing point to name, is that compassion that you're able to show up with. You know what I mean? It's like we can be dealt the same hand, but how we respond to it versus how we react to it just speaks volumes, right?
Totally. Well, and that's what makes all the difference, you know? It's like how you respond to it. Anyone can get dealt any kind of challenge or just life bullshit, and what you do with that is really what's going to yield the result.
And
put you wherever that's going to put you.
And show your strength, too. Yeah. Like how serious you are about putting in the work for yourself.
Totally.
You
know what I mean? Just your awareness or lack thereof.
Yes. Like,
there's a lot of people just kind of blindly react and respond to things and don't really realize what's happening.
Would we call that? The asleep person? Is that a sheeple?
I guess you could totally throw it in there for sure. There's definitely the people that are aware and the people that are not aware.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember the other way I've heard of it, where it's you're either Oh, yeah. It's just responding or reacting.
Yeah.
So the people that are reacting, it's from a more unaware place. Whereas when you're responding, it's from a calm place where you've had time to observe what's going on. And you're actually responding in a way where you've had time to think about it. And you're not just kind of lashing out in the moment.
Totally. And taking accountability for your feelings, right? Because it's like, if someone is triggering a reaction inside of us, I think that should be an amazing invitation to look inward.
Totally.
Like, okay, what is this person showing me right now, and why am I feeling like I want to rip their head off?
Totally.
I mean, but in a loving way.
Yeah.
And look at myself and be like, okay, it's not your fault. Like, I mean. Mm-hmm.
It's all just a mirror. Like, that's what's really interesting. It's like the practice is a mirror, whether it's the physical parts of the practice or all the other pieces of practice. Relationships are a mirror. Like, everything.
Everything in your life. Yeah.
Yeah. And the more you start to realize that, sometimes we get uncomfortable with the things being reflected back to us.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know that I was in a relationship recently, with just a person who was a lot more present and a lot more aware than other partners that I had met prior.
Mm-hmm.
And they reflected back some things of my own behavior that I was not aware of
prior
to that. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Yes. I can see that that's how I'm showing up and like what's being reflected back. But because we're two people that are, you know, compassionate and aware and trying to grow, we're able to talk about it and grow from it.
Yes.
And yeah, but all the people are the mirrors.
All the people, yes. And that's so huge. Yeah. I think once you start recognizing that, I mean, it's that universal law. You attract what you give out. So then once you start really looking at these experiences, these people, these relationships, like, what are they trying to tell me? What are they trying to teach me? You know what? And like, you know, like you said, getting out of your comfort zone or feeling uncomfortable, like, that's really hard for a lot of people. You know, people want to just be like, no, it's everyone else's fault and not look at, no, I'm uncomfortable because there's something inside of me that maybe I'm not proud of that I got to acknowledge and take accountability for.
Right.
And like, that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. And I love you.
Yeah. And it's okay, like, to like not be perfect. Like, no one's
exactly.
perfect.
Exactly.
And people are always, you know, I find, you know, in my students or peers, like, apologizing for things or like apologizing for being human or for having emotions or for getting upset. And it's like, it's okay to be human as long as you're like not outright trying to hurt people and you're aware and you're like, okay, yeah, like, I was upset, that's fine, like, no big deal. But you don't have to apologize or like feel bad.
What is there like a name for that where like you're always apologizing? Because I feel like I've even seen something recently where it's like, you know,
like
instead of saying, sorry, I'm late, it's like, thank you for waiting for me.
Totally. Well, it's flipping it kind of into like gratitude.
Gratitude instead of pity.
Yeah, shifting that whole perspective.
Yeah.
From taking it in a place where you're just like apologizing and like kind of like negative. It's like, oh, I'm like so horrible because I'm so late and like blah, 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 whatever.
Right.
So like, oh, thank you for waiting for me. You know, crazy traffic. No.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Have some compassion.
Right.
Once again, coming back to compassion for ourselves, for others, and just being easy on ourselves. We just need to like sometimes give ourselves a break.
Totally.
You know, we're all human. Because I think about it, you as a yoga teacher, like imagine being your student in your class. Like, I know when I first started yoga, you know, like your friend Shannon, like, she was a huge inspiration for me. And like the presence she brought into that yoga studio is like, wow, oh my God. Like, I know, it's kind of funny when you're starting to wake up and see these things.
Yeah.
But then it's like over time we learn and we grow. And I'm like, she's human too.
Totally.
You got your human stuff you're dealing with. You could be freaking out in class and I just have no idea.
Yeah.
And it's just so interesting how we show up and like how we just kind of, you know, and also taking people off the pedestal, right?
That brings up something that like I really enjoy and something that I think you start to see like as a yoga teacher, as like a fitness instructor, because I started teaching fitness actually before I started teaching yoga. And so I was still like, you know, with groups of people and like doing that whole thing, blah, 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 whatever.
Blah, 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 whatever.
Anyway, I found that when I'm, you know, teaching these large groups of people, like teaching to the public and also being surrounded by other teachers and other people that I might think are maybe like more perfect or whatever.
Right.
You start to see that like everyone really is human, and I'll get these like groups of people in the room practicing and they're all so different. And even if it's the same group of people showing up every day is going to be different.
Yes.
And even teachers, like my fellow teachers and my peers, sometimes show up to the studio and they're like, yeah, I'm just having a really rough day. Like, fuck this shit. Like, whatever. They're a normal person. And then they just step out of that. And they, you know, have a little boundary and then step into their role of leading the class and they leave that outside. But everyone's totally human. And I've seen that kind of with some of my other teachers. It's been cool people like I've trained with or like my mentor teachers to see them more as human, like as I've gotten to know them, because, you know, some of them have, you know, either really large followings or really popular brands or studios or whatever it is. And I naturally assume that they're just perfect and they're good at everything and that they never have a problem and nothing ever goes wrong and they never feel insecure and they never have imposter syndrome. But like they've all confirmed that none of that is true. And they're all like, yeah, no, you're wrong. I'm exactly like you.
Yes, that's the secret. Like you are me, I am you.
Totally.
Like,
and it just is what it is.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we are all individual in our sense. Like we all have our unique purpose and light in the world. But at the same time, we are all connected and we are all human.
Just be human.
Yeah, and like, we're trying our best. Mm-hmm. And especially I'm thinking about it like as someone who is new to fitness or yoga, and it can be really intimidating.
Totally.
And you see someone who's been practicing 9 years and you're over here touching your head to your toes and it's like, oh my God. But that's why I love you so much because you make sure to show up and remind people that it's not all about the party tricks. It's not about these the asanas, right? So the asana just means posture. So in yoga, you know, like when she's touching her toe to her head, this beautiful asana, but really that's a bigger reflection of her your own internal work,
because it really is.
Like the 8 limbs of yoga, I feel like is such a beautiful philosophy for life that they just need to teach. I mean, if they taught that in school,
right?
I mean, just the yamas and the niyamas,
right? Just like general
it's
life,
like a way
lessons.
Of living,
like, that would be great.
And how to show up in the world, like. But yeah, I'm so passionate about that, and I know you're passionate.
No, I definitely am. Like that's my biggest goal as a teacher, for sure, is to teach a class that's not just an asana class.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just a posture class, because the postures and the asana is a tool for the practice, but it's not the only tool, and it's also not the goal.
Exactly.
Which gets really, really just like misinterpreted constantly as like yoga is this fitness practice. Like people think it's like a fitness thing or like a workout or it's how we get flexible or we do these things so that we can do a handstand or do the splits. And like really none of that matters.
No.
Like you never have to do a handstand. You never have to do the splits. You don't even have to ever touch your toes like to practice yoga.
Absolutely.
Like you can lay down on the floor.
That's what yoga. I love about you. Yeah.
Like it's just fine. I get students every single day this happens. Like I'm teaching later tonight and I can guarantee at least 2 people will say this because it's Friday. And
it's
people
Friday.
Will come in, they'll be like, oh, I'm so tired. Like, I've just had a really off day. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to be laying down a lot. I just wanted to let you know. And I'm always like, no, that's fine. Like, don't apologize. That's also yoga practice.
Yeah.
You're not skipping anything. You're not taking a break. Like, you're showing up on your mat.
Absolutely.
You're taking that time. You're practicing in the way you need to practice. And if that means that you're finding more stillness today, cool. Like, but you don't need to apologize. You don't need to tell me. Like, you don't need to. It's all good. Like, I appreciate them wanting to, like, let me know and have a conversation.
Yeah.
But they're always so apologetic about it, like, as if I'm going to be offended.
Right.
And, like, they've actually, I've had a gal actually tell me, like, oh, I just, like, don't want to hurt your feelings. Like, I'm just, like, injured or something today. And I just, like, want to lay down and be in the warm room. I was like, oh, that's fine. Like, you never have to do anything I say. Like, you can come in and just lay down and not move.
Every time. The
it's
fact
great.
That you like, show up, like, that's all that you need to do. And that also, once again, reflects into life. Just show up.
Just show up.
Just show up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hardest part is showing up. Yeah.
And, like, all the other stuff will happen.
Exactly.
Like, however it's going to happen, like, but you have to show up to see.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
And then also, like, not apologizing for what, for listening to your body.
Totally.
Right? Because it's like, man, I just want to honor that student. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you for honoring you right now,
totally.
Especially if you're injured. I don't want you to push yourself. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful you at least showed up to lay on your mat.
Right.
And take that time for yourself, for your stillness. Because honestly, a lot of people in yoga, it's like, that's the only stillness they get.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I mean, and I know for me, I honestly kind of struggle with meditation, just sitting in stillness. And in yoga, I'm always the last one to leave the room because I'm like, okay, this is my time. I'm
going
to lay here for 20 minutes and soak up everything I just did.
And it's like you finally like are able to get there too.
Exactly.
And that's what really what the asana is for and like what the physical practice is for that a lot of people don't realize is the biggest thing it's a tool with is burning up all that energy and all of those like, you know, crazy like thoughts and like whatever in your day and like just doing all the different postures, doing all the hard physical shit and like sweating and maybe doing handstands or maybe like just doing a bunch of down dog or whatever it is challenging for you. We have to kind of do that and like burn all that up and then we're able to find the stillness and the calm.
Yeah.
So like that's the point. And a lot of people, especially in American yoga culture, are just really caught up in the like push yourself harder and like burn and like the like yoga abs.
We're trying
and, like,
to kill you.
Right. And it's they get so caught up in the like fiery, like push yourself aspect, but they don't actually get the other side of the coin. Like the whole point of all that fire was to like lay down and relax after, yes, and have that meditation and that shavasana, and most people skip that and then just go on with their day, right, and they don't realize that you actually just skipped like the majority of your practice.
Yes.
You showed up and basically all of like the hard part, didn't let yourself
marinate,
like have the nice part.
Yeah.
And I know laying still is the hard part for a lot of people, right, but it becomes the easy part.
Yes.
The more you do it.
Totally. Well, and what, yeah, do you say, isn't there something I think I've heard, like actually laying and meditating, mm-hmm, after your yoga practice,
yeah,
you literally soak up all of the asana and everything,
oh, yeah,
you just did. You're able to actually receive it more.
Well, that gives you the time to like soak all of that up, and then you actually end up having more energy too,
mm,
because you have to lay down, let that process, like your whole practice, all that energy you just moved around, everything you just did with your internal organs and like your heart and your blood and like so much
everything
shit goes on. And you have to lay there and let your heart settle down, let your nervous system settle down, let everything,
yes,
reintegrate. And then you're not even tired after practice. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. Like if you jump up after your practice and leave, like, yeah, you're probably still like panting and out of breath. And like you didn't stop and recover and do the last part of your practice.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you did that, you would have gotten up and like felt great and like,
yeah,
super energized and super calm because you actually integrated everything you just did.
Huge
and
integration.
You didn't just like leave with like more tension and like more intensity,
right, and that,
which is what people mostly,
right,
do.
And that's that Western American,
oh, yeah,
culture is go, 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 go,
totally,
go. But you go to
and
India.
And you're just like checking off another box.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's where I feel like yoga has definitely gotten misconstrued.
Totally.
And also I love, love, love that that's a big part of your,
mm-hmm,
message.
Oh yeah.
Like you want to remind people,
mm-hmm,
about where yoga truly came from, why we do this practice, you know, what the eight limbs are. So you do,
yeah,
mentorships, right?
Yeah.
Like you mentor people, you,
mm-hmm,
do your lectures, like you teach about the eight limbs.
Yeah. I teach an entire course that's like purely lecture, which a lot of people at first are like very confused because it's called Yoga Off the Mat, which should kind of hint that like we're not going to be on a mat.
Yeah.
But then people ask, they're like, oh, well, like, but what do you, like, what do you do? Like, what do you, like, what is it? And I'm like, oh, well, we're going to spend 4 weeks. It's like one lecture per weekend on Zoom. And we dive into the history of yoga, how yoga came to America, the yogic philosophy, like the eight limbs of yoga. So all the different pieces of the practice, like way beyond the postures, but we also talk about postures and about asana and what that piece of practice really is,
mm-hmm,
by traditional definition, because there is no hierarchy of posture.
Yeah.
There is no goal in posture.
Mm-hmm.
There is no like purpose to like needing to do the next like cool posture. Like all of that is very Western.
Yeah.
And so removing that is really fun, and like talking to people about that and watching people's brains just like explode when I explain these things.
Yes.
It's great. Like one girl, like in a good way.
Yeah.
Well, she's a woman. She's not a girl. One woman like started crying like in the,
wow,
middle of one of our, one of my lectures about the yamas, because which like the yamas are part of the first limb, or they are the
first limb
of yoga,
mm-hmm,
is the yamas. And the first yama is ahimsa, which is nonviolence. And the second yama is satya, which is truthfulness. And so I was just lecturing on those two at the moment. And like my lecture was working through them, and I got to Satya and she just starts crying. And I was like, wait, like what's going on? Like what, like let's talk about it. And she was like, oh no, like it's good. Like it's good tears, but this just all makes so much sense. She was like, and this just, it like this is like a whole structure for like life and like morals and like ethics. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like yoga's not just about like doing lunges and backbends. Like it's much, 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 much deeper than that. Like, and there's so much more, and it really is just about being a human.
Yeah.
Like, and a lot of people miss that, and it's like such a bummer.
Right.
They're missing out on the best part.
Hey, and that's like, why we're here.
Exactly.
You know?
That's why I just like talk about it all the time.
Yes. I know. It's me too. Mm-hmm. It's like,
I annoy the shit out of people.
Oh, but you know, we're truly, it's just
but
planting
I don't care
seeds.
Because it lands with people sometimes, and
mm-hmm,
it really changes things for them. And seeing that is what like makes it worth it. Like I don't care how many people I lecture about this to that like do not care,
mm-hmm,
because every once in a while I get someone who like really cares and starts crying,
right,
and it's like, oh my god, this is changing my life. And I'm like, okay, cool. And sometimes that happens at Safeway.
Like, literally. Like, yeah.
You never know. So right. If somebody asks, I usually will share.
Yes. Yeah. And that's so powerful because it's just like, once again, showing up mm-hmm. with that, you know, openness for everybody. Yeah. It's like, I see the God in you. Like, I see the God in me. And I want to share this magic and share, mm-hmm. you know, these things that have enhanced my life. And, you know, totally. I know my first teacher training, cried.
Oh, my God.
Huge wake up call.
Teacher training is amazing.
Oh, my God. Everyone just like, if you just do a yoga teacher training.
You don't have to teach yoga.
You don't have to teach yoga.
You don't even have to want to.
It really, and of course, always I've researched the instructor, of course.
Yeah.
But.
Don't just be willy-nilly about it.
Yeah, don't be willy-nilly. Make sure, it's not all focused on asana.
Yeah. Like, choose a good training, but just do it for the. Just education.
The education.
It's like
I know.
A life education. It's not a yoga education.
It's
you're in
life.
If you're in a good program, like, I mean, my first teacher training was with the Yandara Yoga Institute, which I highly recommend.
How do you spell that?
I praise them all the time. Yeah, it's spelled Yandara, Yandara. And they're on Instagram. You can just plug it into Google, Yandara Yoga Institute. And they're amazing, amazing, amazing. And so I really credit them and my teachers, specifically Christopher and Nicolina, with the foundation that I had in my yoga education because they were so traditional. It was a non-American school, you know, because we're in Mexico. So that was nice. So it didn't have that kind of underlying intense culture. But about half of my group was American. Half was from all over the world, different places. But it was a very, very traditional training that we practice asana every day, multiple times a day, and learned all about it, but it was never presented as like this main thing. Like, which, different teacher trainings.
Yeah, different teacher trainings.
Some trainings are better than others.
And honestly, literally in 1 year, I did 2 teacher trainings.
Oh, yeah.
Because I felt like I didn't learn enough asana in the first one, and I had to go back. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and I've loved both of my trainings, but I've done 2 different 200-hour trainings.
Yep.
Same. Which, like, your 200-hour training, you only would need to do it once, essentially, technically.
Yeah.
But I think that people should definitely continue training. Because I think if you do 1 teacher training and stop, it's usually not a thorough education.
Yeah, right. Well, and you think about it with doctors and, like, dentists. And, I mean, it's, like, continuing education.
Yeah.
So it's just,
you
like...
You need to keep going.
You keep going. Like, but that's where the beauty lies,
you
right?
You should
in
love
learning.
It. I would hope so.
Yeah. Like, to keep learning, keep growing.
I hope you'd enjoy it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was actually something... This is just side note a long time ago when I watched a special on super agers. They're, like, people who live well into their hundreds.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they named that... They kept taking classes. Mm-hmm. They kept doing trainings. They kept doing things they loved.
They kept learning.
Yeah, they kept learning. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't, you know, it's interesting. You think about retirement, right? People work their whole life to retire. And then what do you, you're just going to sit on your ass until you die? Like,
right. Well, like
no,
what,
we
are you
want, what are you
working towards?
Yeah, like what brings, like what lights you up? What brings you purpose? What, like how can you serve humanity?
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're always doing that every day, you know?
Well, you always have that option, too, is the thing. But most people just get caught up thinking that, they just need to, like, work.
Yeah, or take the easy
the
route,
or
right?
Whatever, or take the easy route or the thing that's maybe not even necessarily easy, but the one that's just already laid out.
Exactly. And
that's
think
a lot of the time what it is. Because it's not necessarily that it's
not easy,
or,
but,
like, preferred.
Yes.
But it's the one that's either laid out or expected of you, or, like, you've been told that's the one you should do.
Or, like, exactly.
Like,
and, like,
and it's like, okay, well, maybe not.
Yeah. You know, I remember I had that big wake-up call when I, you know, I did my dental assisting training, working at my first office, and thinking to myself, like, man, you know, I could work, you know, it's kind of interesting, right? Like, you go to college, you get the job, you know, that you went to school for, and then you're like, okay, now what? And I'm like, okay, am I just going to keep working a 9-to-5?
Right.
Which, in my mind, I'm like, that does sound easier than me putting myself out there trying to start my own business. Because it is scary.
Totally. Well, some people don't even know that is an option.
Mm.
Or, like, they see it as, like, well, that's not an option for me. They're like, well, that's something other people do.
Right.
Like,
but already,
that's something, and it's like, well, no, like, this is whatever.
It's a limiting belief.
Yeah, and that kind of, that idea of, oh, well, I, you know, go to school and then go to college and then get a job and do whatever kind of, like, leads into the idea of thinking that you're going to, like, eventually reach this end point.
Right, yeah.
And people always think that, like, they're going to get to this, like, an end point or this, like, top level or like this point where, like, oh, and now everything's great.
Right. And then
and
you get there.
Just not
and
it's a thing.
Yeah, it's not a
thing.
There
is no end point.
There's
there
no
is
end point.
No Yeah.
Always like a journey.
Any of that.
Always like. A journey. Girl, hey.
Cameo, be a Rachel.
You know, cameo. Real life stuff. Anyways. Love you.
Yeah, like a lot of people really expect that, and that kind of feeds back into what we mentioned earlier with people creating their own suffering.
Yeah.
And all of that comes back to like that expectation and that thinking of like, oh, well, if I just get that job, then I'm going to be good. If I just make this much money, if I just get married, if I just lose that much weight, if I just own that fancy car, if I could just go on this one vacation. No one thing, no any of that is going to fulfill anything that you're feeling deep inside.
Absolutely.
Like if you're feeling some sort of like misery or like lack of something like deep in your soul, trust me, that's not going to be fixed by a purse or a car or some like
or a certain
cool sneakers,
dollar amount.
Right. Or like a hotter girlfriend or boyfriend. Like none of that. That is not going to solve the problem. Trust me.
So
like,
true.
Been there.
Right.
Like, it's like not going to solve it.
And that's the funny thing about life. It's like when you keep avoiding that truth and you keep putting those limitations on you, it's just that vicious cycle.
Totally.
You're never going to get out of it. It's like your excuse to keep living in suffering.
When you're just doing it to yourself.
Doing it to yourself. Like, you know.
Or if you're like my own example, like I had one time when, just story time, when I was in Paris doing some workshops, like I was taking workshops from one of my like mentor teachers that I really love. And I had flown there to kind of like surprise her and show up at her workshops. And that was super fun. And so the trip itself, like could not have been better. Like I was there by myself traveling, which I enjoy doing. Was with my teacher that I really loved, did some great workshops, like had a great photo shoot, met some new friends. But at that time in my life, like I was just really unhappy because of like a different relationship that I was in where I was being really mistreated and kind of just manipulated. And I wasn't really seeing it yet at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just
blind.
Generally, unhappy and just like not feeling good about myself or with myself and just the whole thing. And so the whole time, and like as I'm in Paris at one point, I like had this one night where I was just like pissed off and just like sad and like not enjoying myself. And I was like walking home to where I was like staying at the time. And I like had the thought where I was like, damn, if I'm like pissed off and angry and feel like unsettled about like this person and like my role with them and this whole thing while I'm like literally in Paris, like with my amazing mentor teacher, like doing like my like dream life, like I'm not clearly that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like if this is something that's just like unsettled and just like stirring like inside me and like making me unhappy, like that was not something that was going to be solved by any reaching of like external things. Like that was a relationship that was unhealthy and untruthful, and like I was being very manipulated and I didn't want to accept it.
Right.
And like it was all these other internal things that like I needed to sit with and deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, oh, great.
And then
like after
great.
I moved through that, which I mean was a whole other story.
Which wasn't easy,
it was
I'm
not
sure.
easy at all. And I didn't even choose it. That was the thing. Like when that all blew up and ended, like I still at that time wasn't choosing it. Like it happened
to
me.
You. Yeah.
But ended up being the greatest thing ever. Like,
because life happens for you and
exactly.
not to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the powerful
it was crazy.
Thing. Yeah.
Crazy things.
And like crazy growth. And I love that you shared that, you know, story because it reflects to a lot of other people who also maybe are in really toxic relationships or are feeling really unhappy.
Right.
Or just, you know.
If you're feeling that, like, because I feel like it starts for a lot of people, it's just like, whether it's depression or anxiety or unhappiness, like those feelings will stir, but then like, where is it coming from?
Exactly.
Like
there's
for
a
me,
root.
Like, and at that time, and like when I was in Paris, I didn't know that's what was going on.
Mm.
I just knew that I like wasn't really happy and it felt like something was missing. And I was just like upset and like felt like I like out of like unworthy or whatever. Like I just knew I didn't feel right.
Yeah.
And that showed up in a lot of other things. And then eventually, when I got down to the root of that, it ended up being the toxic relationship and these other things that were coming up. But, like, yeah, you have to reflect into that feeling.
Yeah.
And see what it is, whether it's the people surrounding you, the situation you're living in, how you're treating yourself.
Right.
Like,
and you know what you said earlier, too? I love that you named that. It's like seeking externally for all these things when really at the end of the day, strip everything away. What is there
it's
with
all
you?
Inside.
It's all inside. You know, everything is just a tool, you know? And it's It's powerful. So I just want to honor you for doing the work and looking inward and having those uncomfortable moments, you know, because a lot of people,
they're important.
And I feel like also in the Western world and culture, this American culture of like, be tough, be strong. It's like this masculine energy. Don't be weak, right? Totally. Don't cry. But it's like crying and feelings and emotions are a part of this human experience.
Yeah.
Like we got to let it out.
Develop as a person.
Exactly. And so, you know, like you said, you know, once you start to do the journey, once you start to look inward, you might not know where it's coming from. Like you said, you knew you were unhappy.
Right. I knew something was wrong at the time. I just didn't know what it was.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like
I had a feeling.
You had a feeling.
Like, you have a gut feeling. And it's like, ooh, like something, it's not right.
Intuition.
Like, you can unpack that. It's just a lot of time we don't want to.
You don't want to.
It's like,
and
if
you
you're
don't
feeling
wanna...
that, sometimes it's a really uncomfortable thing to be feeling.
And sometimes,
and to deal with.
I mean, the truth hurts. That's why they say that. The truth hurts. And sometimes the thing that's best for you is not going to be the easiest.
Right.
Like, for example, that Ed Sheeran song comes to me where, what's it called? The A-Team. And it's like, you know, something about, like, I forget. She's like... flying high in a pipe or whatever.
Right.
But,
she's like,
but it's basically saying, but it was saying that like all of those things are going to come much easier to you. Like
totally.
Just know like all of the bad things are going to come easier because that's where our humanness evolves, where we're able to acknowledge like, okay, I need to step away from this. I need to, just like really just extract myself from the situation before I fall too deep into it. Like if you think about even people who are on drugs and like all that kind of stuff, I mean, I give them lots of love and I wish everyone strength to, you know, get back to a healthy state. But yeah, sometimes that's what he says. It's like the worst things come the easiest, something like that. And so it's like, well, I don't know. I mean, now that's very ambiguous, but
we can go into a big tangent.
But it is
a cycle, though.
When you're in your flow as well, that's where, on the other hand, it's like when you're also in a flow of acceptance and unconditional love and gratitude, then the things that are meant for you will flow to you with ease.
Well, it's that just shift in perspective, too, like regardless of what you're doing currently, like even if you're unhappy with the behavior that you're having or the relationship that you're in or whatever it is. If you want to be like negative about that and like shameful about that and like hate yourself for it, well, then that's probably going to continue to feed into more decisions like that and more behavior, or whatever, that's like not so good or like not so good for you because you're not thinking that you like deserve anything better. You're thinking it is all my fault or like blah, 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 whatever.
Play that victim.
Whereas if you could be in that same position and eventually with time start to shift that mindset when you can toward like, okay, well, I've been in this. I've been making this decision. That doesn't mean I have to keep making this decision.
Exactly.
Like, I understand that I was doing that for a while, and that's okay. And I understand that, like, now I know better, and I can do better.
Exactly.
And you can start to move forward.
And have awareness.
And, like, still be in that same position. But once you have the awareness and a little more compassion for yourself and a little more empathy for yourself, then you can start to actually heal from the negative things and start to move into a different cycle.
And then you feel better.
And it's like, oh my God,
Because like you said, it's like when something's not right, your intuition knows. And, you know, the heart sends more messages to the brain than the brain sends to the heart.
Yeah.
So it's like our heart's energy, our heart's emotional intelligence is so strong.
Oh, yeah.
That like... our body always knows, but it's our human mind and like society that confuses us and makes us think we, you know, need this or have to do that because that's what everyone else is doing, XYZ.
Or too often people get caught up, just in their thoughts.
In their 100%.
And they're not dropping into how they're feeling.
Yes.
And because usually like those gut feelings, those intuition feelings, like that sort of thing is a good director. Like,
it is.
More so than your thoughts.
100%.
Like, your thoughts can be good too sometimes, but a lot of the time, especially if you're someone who does deal with depression or anxiety or intrusive thoughts or like deep insecurity, your thoughts are not going to be in a good place. Your thoughts aren't going to point you in a good direction.
And you're
90% of the time.
Yeah.
And so you have to learn to drop into your body and be like, okay, well, what feels good or like feels better? Like, even if it's not perfect, it feels better than, you know, whatever the other option
then when
is.
I was with this person.
Right. Or like, you know, making this choice, whether it be like what you're putting in your body or people you're spending your time with. Or
what you're putting intention
whatever.
Into.
Whatever.
No, totally. Oh, man.
I feel like we could talk forever.
We could. I wonder how long we've been on here already.
I don't even know.
But All right, good. So we still got some more time. Yeah, I feel like there was something I was going to ask you, and now I totally forgot.
We were talking about earlier before we started recording with when we're building a brand.
And building a brand.
Working in the wellness industry and stuff in general, too.
And being authentic with yourself. Because, I mean, that word totally gets thrown around a lot. But starting to look inward and be like, okay, well, who am I?
Right.
And how do I show up in the world? Mm-hmm. And how can my niche... like serve humanity and me stand in that,
totally,
you know, with strength.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know, maybe you want to share a little bit about, you know, your business.
Yeah,
and...
well, it's definitely, building a business and a brand in general is a fun adventure.
Yeah.
I guess you could say. Like, I don't have like an established brand, I wouldn't say now.
Yet.
It's working its way there. It's definitely been like a loose brand, like up until now. But that's because I also wasn't very intentional with it. I wasn't really putting a lot of focus into the fact that I was running a business. Like, I was definitely showing up as a teacher and like running retreats and traveling and teaching and writing materials and like doing all those things, but I wasn't showing up as like the CEO of a business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just started to move more into that like in the last year. And I've learned a lot, like, and it's been very interesting. But yeah, as far as the yoga and wellness, like wellness being the more general industry that we're in, it is an interesting industry to be in because they use buzzwords like, you know, authenticity and being true to yourself and this and that. And yet somehow a lot of the time that message is packaged through someone who's doing the exact opposite.
Right.
And is like very, very, very like curated and like usually, yeah, just this like picture perfect image like sort of thing of, you know, the Western yoga situation.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, no, like...
Tell me how authentic
could that be?
Yeah. Like, can you dive a little bit deeper? Because also, I know you kind of blew up on TikTok because you named some uncomfortable statements, but it is true and relevant.
Yeah,
and...
no, I don't take any of it back. So long story short, what happened on TikTok, I had made a video that I really didn't think was going to go anywhere. I was just like in my room, like hanging out, watching. I'd been watching TikTok for a couple months, but I hadn't really made anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, well, I wonder if there's like a yoga community on here or like any interest in yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made a post where, I kind of started by listing like, you know, do you want to try yoga, but you know, you've only seen, you know, basically the thin, white, hyper-flexible woman, you know, sort of thing. Like, and I went on to say, like, oh, well, what if I told you, like, don't have to be fit, flexible, you know, thin, any of these things to practice yoga, you know? Like, hi, I'm Devin, whatever, let's do yoga. That's, like, the vibe of the video, right? Just kind of introducing myself as a yoga teacher and that, like, no, I'm not, like, American yoga culture... I'm not teaching to that. And I think the actual caption was American yoga culture sucks. And I think like it was like
that was triggering.
But let's like be specific. When I posted this, I had 7 followers. So I was not thinking anything at all.
Right.
And that was like the night before Thanksgiving. And so like overnight, like within like 24 hours, I had like 17,000 followers. And then within 48 hours, I had almost 30,000. And also, though, with that, I was getting a lot of, like, very violent and aggressive hate for my comments about, like, white women. Like, which is funny because most of that hate was coming from white women. So I was like, this is, like, you guys do realize you're kind of proving my point in the comments, right? But I did, like, end up going to battle with some people on this topic. And there was a lot of, like, spiritual bypassing kind of thing. Like, oh, no, well, yoga's all peace and love. So the fact that you're saying any of this just isn't even yogic of you. And I was like, okay, well, you're saying that as a, you know, because I would look at the person profile or something. And either a faceless, usernameless, anonymous person would say that. Or it would be, like, a thin, white, very flexible person. Or just, like, a random white man. Who then, you know, would be talking on something they have like no basis in anyway. And I would have to be like, well, no, like the whole point of what I said, I wasn't saying that first off, white people can't teach yoga, which is another thing I got in a lot of confrontational conversations about, because that was not it. But that the American yoga culture is not at all inclusive. It is not something that actually shows what yoga is. Like, it's very misunderstood. It is very much geared toward the affluent, like, more upper class groupings of people, like, majority of those being white, majority of those being thin women. Like, and I mean, you can look at any, like, I don't even have to come up with any way to, like, have examples or, like, back it up, because you can look at any yoga website, any yoga brand, like, especially before the last 2 years, because I would say in the last year, especially with the the relevance of the Black Lives Matter movement becoming so present again, it put a fire under a lot of people's asses, which was really, really great to see that happen. It was really sad that it took that to get a little bit of a fire under their ass as an industry, like, to be more inclusive.
Yeah. But
especially prior to this, if we were to, like, rewind to 2018, 2019, I do not remember ever seeing a Black person or a person of color at any of my studios or, like, in classes with me or, like, pictured on things. No bigger bodied people, no people who maybe are, like, in a wheelchair, no elderly people, no moms, no pregnant people, no, like, dads, no, like, men, no, you know, like, and yoga is for literally everyone. And, like,
it is union.
Well, and it's literally, there's yoga for absolutely everyone. Like, it is not at all a practice that was ever meant to be, like, for niche, flexi, bendy, affluent white women.
Absolutely.
Like, that was not at all what this practice is. And it turned into this, like, oh, let's, like, go get our yoga abs and some juice. Like, no. Like, that is not, and like, no.
The just,
whole
like,
thing.
That to just, like,
and so
it.
I threw that out there, and there was a lot of backlash. I mean, I think to this point, the video has, it's, like, almost 500,000 views. And I still, every once in a while, will get on there and, like, just have conversations with people.
But
there was also a lot of, I do have to acknowledge, there was a lot of really great response beautiful response, and people were like, oh my god, yes, thank you for saying that.
Thank
I've always wanted to try yoga. This is the reason I'm scared to try yoga. Like, this is 100% why I haven't done it. Or people then were, like, messaging me and telling me about, like, these awful stories that happened to them, like, in yoga classes, or yoga teachers being really horrible, or, like, making fun of them because they did a modification, or, like, not knowing what to do with them because
that's
they are in a bigger body and, like, have a belly and maybe can't do a certain move. And the teacher, like, wouldn't know what to do and would be like, oh, well, then, like, you just can't do it. Like, no. Like, do something else. Like, make it work for your body.
Absolutely.
Like, this is not something that is super rigid and, like, based in physical ability or performance. So, yeah, the American yoga culture, I still think, does suck a little bit. And, like,
well, that's why you're
I
here
stand
to...
by that.
Yeah.
And I hope that it's going in a better direction. And
it will.
I know a lot of amazing teachers.
Yep.
And I know a lot of people who really do want to share good, honest yoga with everyone and with people who need it. So we just have to give more power to that and less power to the, like, big brands that mostly, this is the other thing, most of the big yoga brands, big yoga businesses, whatever it is, are owned by white men, which a lot of people don't think about. I mean, most things are owned by white men, but especially since we're just talking about the yoga industry specifically, it's like, I mean, I had worked a little bit with Cody App is what Aloe Moves was before it was Aloe Moves, under the brand Aloe. So I'd worked with Cody App before they were bought out by Aloe Moves, and then a little bit after they had turned into Aloe Moves too. And they're great. Like Aloe as a brand, love them as a team. They're wonderful to work with. But that brand is owned by, like, two white men that have, like, billions of dollars and just bought a big ass mansion in Malibu. Like, I don't really know how much of that, like, really aligns with yoga, but, like, yeah, they're, like, one of the biggest yoga brands in the world. Like, massive and making so much money and
ridiculous.
Absolutely just it's very interesting. They definitely contribute to that image of yoga. And I love them. Have worked with them. That's great. I think they're a great company to a point. But there's not a lot of visibility for actual yoga in a historical sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's turned into a whole other monster.
And that's why I'm just so grateful. Like, honestly, I feel like 2020 was just a huge wake-up call for everybody with the Black Lives Matter movement and with naming this white fragility, because it's like people are uncomfortable. But it's like, you know, we need to put ourselves out there and to learn and do the research and, you know, learn about...
Well, just be okay being uncomfortable. That's
exactly
the thing. I mean, I didn't feel this way and recognize this, like, from the jump 6 years ago.
Right.
Like, I've been teaching for 6 years. And it took until the last year for me to really, really realize and look at how mm-hmm. non-inclusive the yoga industry and yoga community can be.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, yeah, like, because I am a white woman,
yeah.
like, who is bendy and flexible, and right. I do fall right into that category. And however. So, yeah, like, no, I was easily able to not look at that and not think about that. Mm-hmm. For a long time, no, like until
white
I did,
privilege,
yeah,
right?
until
and,
I
like,
did,
naming the privilege,
and then
being...
I had to be like, okay, I looked at that, I learned that. Now I'm gonna process that
exactly.
and see how I can do better.
Exactly, it's all about yeah. just yeah, showing up once again, full circle, mm-hmm. and just trying to be a better person.
Yeah,
like we're all trying to navigate this forever, and mm-hmm. I just want to, you know, honor everybody and acknowledge everybody for all their hard work
right.
and all the stuff that we've been through, and acknowledging our ancestors and others' ancestors, and just. Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy world, but we're doing the work
yeah.
and, you know, and it's great. People are waking up. I think there's more communities now that are more conscious and aware of this. And
I hope so.
Becoming more, you know, inclusive for everybody. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it's,
yep.
yeah.
It's,
thank you
it's
for
fun
showing
work.
Up. Yeah.
It's like, I don't mind doing it, but.
Yeah.
There's plenty of work to be done.
Absolutely. So every day we just got to show up
yeah.
with that love and acceptance and do the work and, you
mm-hmm.
know, yeah, don't give in
Pretty
to
much.
The...
One day at a time.
One day at a time.
Don't get too ahead of yourself.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, how can people
yeah.
find you and contact you and book sessions
yeah.
with you?
So I have everything that I do is... all on my website, which is at devtheyogi.com. But Dev the Yogi is my at name for literally everything.
Can you spell
so,
it just in
yeah,
case?
Yeah, it's DevTheYogi. So just Dev the Yogi, just like it sounds. But on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, it's my email.
That's
a website.
Good. Consistent.
That's yep. That's how you build a brand.
That's how you build
so
a brand. Consistency.
Like, yeah.
Yes, I love it.
But yeah, so you can find me there. I run courses on all these things. I have an ebook on starting a backbending heart opening practice. I run a community class second Sunday of every month online. I teach locally all over Tacoma, Puyallup, Seattle. Yep, it's a party.
And you have a retreat coming up this year.
I do. We're hoping we'll still be able to go this year. We're, you know, COVID times.
Mm-hmm.
So we're crossing our fingers for this November.
Yes,
but I
crossed.
Am partnered with the Never Forget Elephant Foundation in Thailand. And they're amazing, a wonderful foundation. But yeah, we're waiting, doing the COVID dance.
Yes.
So.
Well, and I love that
yeah.
too, just to acknowledge that, you know, you're partnered with a company that's
oh,
giving
yeah.
back.
They're amazing.
And, you know, that's really important. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, even when you're naming these billion-dollar white men, like, how are we giving
right.
back to the
right.
world? Like,
mm-hmm.
when we are bringing in all this abundance,
yeah.
like, how are we giving it as well? Because,
mm-hmm.
right, that law of attraction, give, receive,
right.
give, receive.
Yeah, it should definitely be a back and forth.
Always,
for sure.
yeah.
Oh,
well, I love
yeah.
you so much.
So
and
much
thank
too.
You so much for being here.
This
and we'll,
was so much fun. We'll have to do it again.
We're definitely doing it again.
We have lots to talk about.
Yes, please. Yeah, well, and everyone, thank you so much for listening. And feel free to reach out to us. And if there's anything you want us to talk about or share our thoughts on, let us know. And we'll definitely dive deeper next time. All right, everyone, take care. Wishing you so much happiness. Mwah. Bye. If you enjoyed this podcast, please feel free to connect with me on Instagram at celestial_goddess with an extra S. That is CELESTIAL_GODDESSS. My other Instagram is at yoga by Corinne. That is spelled YogaByCorinne. I am also on YouTube as Yoga by Corinne. And we can also connect through other platforms like Apple Music, Spotify. I do mantra affirmation music as well, reprogramming the mind, codes of light and love. So feel free to connect with me in all different ways. If there's anything you would like me to expand my consciousness on or to chat about, or even if you want to sit down and interview with me, please reach out on any of these platforms. I'd love to connect and share and expand ideas together. Thank you again all for being here. I love you so much.